Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which is aimed at like boo boo boo. I'm getting worse and worse at saying the intro to this podcast. Like every single time I try, I mess up. Hello, one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. You join me, your host Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as this week's guest, Paul Wallace from Supercars of London.
Mum, I'm on a podcast.
You are on it. You're back on a podcast.
I'm on TV.
You're a very regular guest on this podcast, Paul.
You are getting worse at the intro, though.
I'm getting really bad, like, aren't I? I think it's because I try and speed through it too much.
I think it's because you're getting close to 30.
It's because why have you brought that up? That's a very upsetting thing to mention. Now, I just need to do a bit of a spiel before we get started with today's podcast.
Bit of housekeeping.
I've been away. I've been away for a few weeks. And as a lot of you will notice, we have been slacking in the podcast department. However, yesterday, Tony and I recorded two podcasts, which will be going out over the coming weeks. However, the reason that Paul is here today
is because I'm more important. Hi, Tony.
Definitely not. Tony will be listening to this going, why am I not on this one? Is because we are doing a Formula One special. And we're doing it now because it is the midpoint of the season. And I am off to Monterey Car Week in 2 days' time. And I'll be very away jealous before the next Grand Prix. So we have to do this now.
Yes.
If we don't,
I think
do this
it's
now,
good timing to do it, right?
It's perfect timing because this has been one of the craziest and busiest mid-season, off-seasons ever.
Yeah.
So we've got lots to talk about. But yes, for any of you who are missing Tony, any of you who want the sort of regular podcast activity, stay tuned because next week and the week after, Tony and I will be back to our sort of regular podcasting format. We have this slight interruption so that Paul can come and chat.
Hi, guys. Firstly, I'd like to plug.
You have randomly become the behind the glass F1 expert.
I don't know why, but you know what? I have listened to some of Tony's thoughts about Formula One, and every single time I'm arguing with myself in the car, listening to the podcast, going, well, you don't know what you're talking about.
They are awful, because he just goes, yeah, Vettel. And I go, what do you think about faster? Ocon? He goes, who's Ocon? And I'm like, oh, come on.
I don't know anything about Formula One, but I feel like I'm a little bit more of an expert.
Well, at least
than
you watch
him.
It. Yeah, yeah. I'm an avid viewer.
Avid
viewer, and as we can see by your cab, you're an average merchandise buyer.
Oh, no. This was a gift.
Oh my God, this is a gift
from Red Bull, from the Silverstone 2018 Grand Prix.
Well, I hope you're not going to be biased in this week's episode.
I'm never biased. I just don't like Ferrari.
Oh, that's biased. Okay, so to run down exactly what we're going to be discussing in this week's episode, we are going to be talking about the huge news that Daniel Ricciardo is headed to Renault next year. Fernando Alonso is leaving Formula One. Carlos Sainz is taking a seat up at McLaren. Lawrence Stroll's purchase of the do we still call them Force India? I guess.
I think for now. Until they become Stroll F1.
Stroll F1 for one season. Kubica potentially getting a seat at Williams for the rest of this year. Who would partner Verstappen next year now that Ricciardo's left? And whether Ferrari will keep Kimi Raikkonen or sub in Charles Leclerc next year.
Do you want me to answer them now, and we can keep this podcast under 5 minutes?
Maybe people would appreciate that. Non F1 fans are like,
quick fire Q&A, skip.
We've been waiting for Behind the Glass to come back, and you bring this crap. And then right at the end, Paul and I will be reviewing our pre-season predictions. We both had to pick our 1, 2, 3 for the Drivers Championship. We're going to be reviewing what those were and whether we want to change them. I don't know if we're allowed to change them.
No, I don't think we're allowed to change. I think we can discuss.
We can reflect upon them.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So anyway, here it is. F1 mid-season special with Paul Wallace from Supercars London. Let's get going.
Is this the bit where there's like a bit of music? Have you got a theme tune yet? Have you got like a different theme song?
No, I'm working on that.
Okay.
It's a lot of work.
You got like...
There's lots of work's going on behind the scenes at the minute.
Cool.
I say that. It needs to get action. So
there's a lot of notes.
There's a lot of notes.
Not a lot of action.
Yeah, not a lot of action. Let's get into it. The big news of the summer. The news that I don't think anyone was expecting. Daniel Ricciardo has signed for Renault in 2019. Paul Wallace, discuss.
One word. Bizarre.
Shocking.
Do you know what was really interesting was... At the Silverstone Formula One Grand Prix, I actually met Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh my God.
Which was pretty heroic from my part to be able to hang out with him and a few other journalists. But I actually spoke to a few people there that were to do with Red Bull Aston Martin Racing, and they were like, oh yeah, he's kind of like confirmed it. He hasn't actually said it, but there's been a few hints to suggest that he's going to renew his contract. We're really excited about having him on the team, and we just can't wait to have a cup of coffee with him. So then for that to drop, you kind of feel like something must have happened quite drastic in a 24 to 48 hour period for this to then get leaked to the world for us all to know that it's gone to Renault. And then, like, it all seemed quite amicable, the way that it was dealt on social media. Daniel Ricciardo was very complimentary, as he probably should be, about his time at Red Bull. And I think I've heard sort of rumours on the grapevine is that he's kind of thinking more so in the future for his career, that he might be able to get some race wins. We all know Renault are a big engine supplier to a lot of the teams. Whether they've got something up their sleeve and they've got some developments that could potentially mean that Renault become quite a strong contender, they're looking pretty good now, but they're still behind Red Bull. So, a little bit weird, a little bit bizarre. I like Daniel Ricciardo, so I'm going to follow him wherever he goes.
I love Daniel Ricciardo. Yeah. Exactly. Like, I want him to be successful. I want him to get more race wins, and one day, you know, compete or maybe even win a championship. I think you've hit the nail on the head a number of times there. First, oh, here he is. Yeah, just throwing microphones all over.
I was going to
call this a studio, but it's just my living room.
There we go.
Sorry, but yes, I think this happened. It seems, or it appears, though, this happened very quickly. I think all the sounds coming out of everyone were, yeah, Ricciardo's going to sign for Red Bull. It's pretty much all done. And I think even Christian Horner, yeah, I think, thought that was going to happen. And it seems as though Ricciardo suddenly woke up one morning and went, nope, I'm going to change it around. Now, we don't know if Renault has offered him a huge pay packet, but I don't get the feeling that's what motivates him in life.
No.
And I think, a bit like you, my immediate reaction when I saw the sort of rumours coming around is that I think he's trying to do a Lewis Hamilton Mercedes style move.
Yeah.
Because if we remember in 2012 when Lewis announced he was moving to Mercedes, Mercedes were a pretty average midfield team at that point. Schumacher and Rosberg driving. You know, they were sort of solidly scoring points, but nothing special. And at the time, McLaren were challenging for a championship. So it made no sense. Everyone was like, what's he doing? Now, I actually had a friend who he's still a friend, and he still works yeah, at Mercedes Formula
Unfortunately,
One.
He's died.
No, he hasn't. But he has had three kids, so make of that what you will. But yeah, so he was working at Mercedes at the time when Lewis signed, and he said Mercedes only entered F1 for the 2014 rule change.
Right.
So they came in, they bought Braun with the sole ambition to start work on the 2014 rule changes and be 5 seconds ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
And so when they approached Lewis, that was their pitch. That was they said, look, this is the car we've got that's coming in 2 years' time. It is going to be 3 seconds quicker than everyone else.
Yeah.
Because right now, it's 6 seconds quicker than everyone else. So, you know, they had that information, and I think that's what swayed Lewis. He knew it was a little step backwards. I don't think he knew just how dominant they would be. A little step backwards for a major step forwards. And the thing with Renault, which Ricciardo said in his statement, which I totally agree with, is every time they've entered the sport, they've won a championship.
Yeah.
Drivers or constructors. And they're a major, major international company. They're not going to enter the sport to just flounder around in sixth and seventh place.
It's true.
And if you look at the rate of development, look at the direction they're headed in, you've got to think at least podiums, if not victories, are a couple of years away. So I think we're all keeping our fingers crossed. We all love him.
I think everyone wants him to do well. I mean, even sort of rival teams want him to do well as a personality because he brings so much to Formula One. He just brings smiles to everyone's faces. His press conferences are by far the greatest ever. And his banter and his sort of rapport with all of the other drivers, just he just is such a popular guy. So I don't really think if you are a massive Ferrari fan and you just want Vettel and Raikkonen to win, or a Mercedes fan or whatever, you still have that sort of little piece of your heart going, go on, Ricardo.
This is exciting to watch.
And it has been a difficult first half of the season for Red Bull. They've had a lot of reliability issues, which, again, they had last year. Maybe he did wake up, had a meeting with Renault, or had a discussion with them, and then sort of realised, yeah, actually, my season has sucked this year.
Yeah, and Red Bull are going to Honda next year.
Yeah.
And whilst Honda have taken leaps and bounds forwards with Toro Rosso, they've still been unreliable.
Yeah.
And their straight line performance is down. So, you know, it's an unknown. I think no matter what, Red Bull are going to take a step back next year. So it was probably a similar journey. It was, you know, a short-term step backwards for long-term step forwards. My question to you, how do you think this is going to reflect on Nico Hülkenberg?
Do you know what? He is a good driver. He's consistent, and I actually have had conversations with people in the motorsport world that is not Archie Hamilton, and they say that he is one of the quickest drivers there. So to think he's just not a well-known name as Daniel Ricciardo is. So I think the only thing that he's going to get affected by is the sort of the fame and the buzz that Daniel Ricciardo will bring to Renault. I still feel like he's going to be competitive, and if not, give it him more motivation. And who knows? Maybe that is the perfect combination in the team for him to be like, right, now I've got to step up. If Daniel Ricciardo's getting all this attention and all of his T-shirts are getting sold, I want my name up there.
I'm the Hulk!
Yeah.
Well, so interestingly, I was literally chatting to someone a couple of days ago who's really involved with F1, works with a lot of the teams, and is kind of someone who should be in the know, who really said that this will massively raise Hülkenberg's stock, and he thinks that Ricciardo and Hülkenberg will be pretty level pegged. He said he thinks that Hülkenberg has been forgotten.
Yeah.
If you think about when Hülkenberg came into the sport, he was the hottest young star. I mean, because the guy's won Le Mans, arguably with Porsche, fine, but he still won bloody Le Mans.
Yeah. All by himself. There was just him.
Two random drivers, not to have heard of.
24 hours. No, he just drove for 24 hours.
So I'm excited to see, because I like Hülkenberg. I agree.
I think Ricciardo coming to Renault gives him a platform to actually be noticed
in
the field.
Exactly. Because if he provides similar results, if he's on a level pegging with Ricciardo, everyone's going to go, God, Hülkenberg's still brilliant.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a little bit of a sort of Button and Lewis style partnership, where Hülkenberg is the slow and steady, consistent, in it for the long game, where Lewis was the sort of Ricciardo's the raw pace, the sort of natural speed and ability. So it's going to be super interesting to see. I think it's an exciting move. Thank God he had the balls to do it, because it gives us something to talk about.
Well, exactly. I mean, it was either going to be Max or Daniel that did it. And I think now that Daniel's done it, I feel like Max might be kind of pinned into the corner, because there is guaranteed thoughts going through Verstappen's head as to be like, why is this car so bad? Or like, why does it keep breaking down? I'm sure Verstappen and his agents or his family have discussed, should you go somewhere else? Now Daniel Ricciardo's done it, I kind of feel like he's screwed a little bit.
I think Verstappen is at the minute Red Bull's golden boy.
Yeah.
But I will put money right now on the fact that within 5 years, Verstappen will be driving a Ferrari.
You reckon?
I think he'll replace Vettel when Vettel leaves Ferrari.
That would be cool.
Which would be very, very cool. Okay, well, look, let's move on to the other major news, which has hit us very recently, which is probably a little bit overdue, in my mind. Controversial statement.
Wait for my statement.
Fernando Alonso has decided to quit Formula One at the end of this year.
Yeah. Inevitable. I mean, he started to put the feelers out into other motorsports. He realised that maybe there were other interesting avenues for him to explore and other opportunities for him to conquer. I feel like he had a fairly successful run in Formula One, some would say. But, like you said, a little bit overdue, kind of hung around like a bad smell for the last two or three seasons, provided us with some fantastic memes.
Some fantastic memes.
But I'm at the point now where if he had done it two or three years ago, I'd have been like, oh man, really? Like Alonso, what a hero. Now I'm just like, I mean, fine, cool. Just move on.
He's dragged it out. And
quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, honestly, like this is a big thing. And you know what's so sad is because
McLaren. Not Rosberg though, he quit too early. He quit just as he got ahead.
Okay. Because McLaren are dwindling down in the midfield, there's also a complete lack of sort of any sort of big grandiose departure. It's a bit like Massa's sort of, decline
exactly,
with Williams. Or Jensen as well suffered the same fate, unfortunately. You know, you want these big stars to go out in a big way. And, you know, unfortunately, they all seem to hang around a little bit too long, which I can understand. You wouldn't want to give it up.
I mean, these guys aren't racing for the paycheck. They're racing because they're addicted.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
So whilst we're there criticising him, going, I mean, he just hung around for too long. He's just not entertaining anymore. Like, that's their life.
Yeah,
that's,
got nothing
that's what
they
that's what they
else.
Live for. So I completely understand that. And it's not like Alonso's going to just go off and start punditry for Sky Sports F1. You know, we're still going to be able to watch him race. So that's the cool element to his departure, I think, in Formula 1.
Absolutely. And he's set these targets, these goals of winning the Holy Trio. What is it called? The big three.
Is it like,
Monaco, Indy 500 and Le Mans.
Yeah.
So he's obviously done Le Mans now.
Yeah.
Indy 500. I heard he's doing an Indy car road test coming up soon. So maybe he's going to do a full Indy season next year to
That'd
try and
cool.
give himself a best shot at the 500. He's obviously doing the WEC Championship this year. So yeah, you're right. He's doing lots of other things and he's still around. It's sort of, this year especially, I feel like a lot of stories have come out with Fernando sort of saying that he's been a very tricky guy to work with over the years. And and the fact that he's ended up at teams when they aren't at their best hasn't always necessarily been through no fault of his own.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. Not to promote another podcast, but Formula One are actually doing their own podcast now. Have you heard this? Beyond
no,
the
I haven't. No. Oh, yes, sir, I have. Yeah,
it's actually very good. And they had listened to the Jacques Villeneuve one, which is definitely one to check out. He's an interesting guy and an outspoken guy. And he's another driver who could maybe, you could argue, made some questionable moves or made some bad decisions with his career path. And he was mentioning a lot of the times he got offered a seat at McLaren, he got offered a seat at Renault, and all these sort of pivotal moments, and he just went in the wrong direction and made the wrong decisions. Alonso, it seems like, was almost sort of forced out of teams through bad favourite at times.
Yeah.
And so you could sit there and go, Alonso should have been a 5 or 6-time world champion, but I don't think he made it easy for himself.
No, yeah. I honestly, like, I haven't actually got that much to talk about on this because I haven't heard that he's, like, an annoying guy.
Thank you for being honest.
Hanging around on the grid.
We'll move on. Alonso's leaving.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about his replacement quickly. Carlos Sainz now announced as Alonso's replacement.
The most recent news out of
Yeah, I think that's probably everything. The most recent news to our date. This is, we're recording this on the Friday. So, yeah, more news could come before this goes live as you're listening to it. But yeah, Sainz to McLaren. I think that's good. Like, I like Sainz.
I'm excited. I think McLaren need a refresh. In every sense of the word, refresh.
Well,
Brulier's
gone.
Yeah. And I think Sainz was exciting at Toro Rosso. I think he's done a good job at Renault. You see him in Q3 quite a lot. And I think he provides an element of just sort of, he's just a young Spaniard.
He's Alonso's sort of heir.
Yeah.
And he's hungry and he's good to go. And I think he's exciting and it's an exciting path. And, you know, I'm going to say something really controversial and I know you haven't been reading up a lot about this, but I do question how much of Alonso or the Alonso effect has to do with McLaren's downturn. You know, there's been a lot of negativity around him and his mentality towards the team and how he sort of bullies his way and the politics he plays. You know, are we going to find that now he's left and Boulier's gone and these fresh faces are going to come in that suddenly McLaren's going to have an upswing? Because if you look at their history, the downturn really...
You can say that there's two ways that you think McLaren would be affected by the sort of bad publicity or negative energy around Alonso. Is either they use that as motivation to improve or they just go down with all of the negativity around it. And I think Sainz just provides that positivity, and I think the sort of transformation that hopefully we're going to see in McLaren, because everyone wants to see McLaren back at the top.
Absolutely.
I mean, whether you're a fan or not, they need to be contending. And if you were to take football for a second, I know this is not a football podcast, but when a new manager comes in, sometimes there is like a kind of a weird period where no one really knows what's going on, but then the positivity of this sort of new energy, this new lease of life and everyone wanting to prove themselves comes forward. And I think, and I would hope, fingers crossed, that it happens with Sainz coming in. Maybe this is the first move that we start seeing McLaren start improving. I think another move that needs to happen is get Van Dorn out.
Okay, so that literally was going to be my next question. Is who do you partner with science? Because I'm sorry, Van Dorn, I'm sure you are very talented and I'm sure you would hand my ass to me on a track. But I think your moment has been...
Yeah, I don't think he had... I don't know, like, obviously he's got skill and talent. We can't sit here and say that he doesn't. But he is fairly invisible on the grid, fairly invisible during qualifying, doesn't give McLaren any sort of publicity.
Hasn't hassled Alonso once.
Yeah, like, there's no point, like, from a business point of view, when you now think sponsors need to be seen, you've got a driver that just sits 18th, 19th, 20th. There's never a camera on his car.
No.
And if you're going to be trying to spend millions of pounds for it from a business point of view, McLaren need that sponsorship money to invest in R&D and get better. Van Dorn will not provide that. And I think Sainz being young and exciting, I think he will. Going back to the question that you haven't kind of asked me.
Who would you put?
I think it'd be cool to see Ocon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think...
Oh, wow, okay.
Because he's quick.
Sure.
He's got that natural talent. Whilst he isn't this sort of personality that is bubbly and in a celebrity style that maybe Daniel Ricciardo, Max Verstappen, and they have that buzz around. But I think those two together would edge each other on in the same way that Hülkenberg and... Ricardo will do for Renault.
Because obviously Ocon, Mercedes backed and Toto Wolff backed, with all the changes at Force India, which we're about to speak about, his seat and his future is looking, questionable. And he does appear to be a great talent. I think he's exciting. I agree with you. I think he's got something there. And I don't think Mercedes or Toto Wolff will let him disappear into the ether.
No, I don't think so either.
So they're going to be using all their weight and skill that they can to try and find him a good competitive seat, or at least a decent seat. However, I wouldn't put him in at McLaren. The man I put in at McLaren is Lando Norris. And have you been tracking this kid?
I have. Now,
I'm very excited by this guy.
I'm excited by him too, and I think he has got the potential of being a Formula One driver.
I think a Formula One star.
Now, though?
Yeah.
Really?
I think this guy is the next Verstappen, the next Hamilton, the next...
McLaren. Yeah. What are you doing?
Like, what are you waiting for? Also, he's great on Twitter.
I don't follow him on Twitter.
I'm going to bring up now.
I know that he's active on social media.
With the stuff that's been going on with Alonso, he's just like really casually putting like these little posts up and these little GIFs and things like that. So,
GIFs?
GIFs.
Look. Do you call them memes?
So, let me find
memes
the first
and
one.
GIFs.
So, this is when Alonso announces retirement. He just puts the Batman, interesting. And then when they announce science, he put the hangover, the mat, like, oh, John, he's just funny. And
yeah.
I have to say, like, some of his drives in F2 this year, and even if you look at GP3 last year.
Yeah, I remember being in Abu Dhabi last year and watching him race, I believe.
It would have been GP3, I'm pretty sure. Because he won GP3 last year, didn't he?
And I think he... overtook on the last lap to win.
He's
or
a machine.
And
he has that element of,
look
the
at
Lewis
the flames.
Verstappen's.
Well,
yeah,
put
absolutely.
Put that in his B-roll. Cracking.
Overtaking everywhere. I think if I was McLaren, I would see this sort of as a new dawn, a new era.
But it's a risk, though, isn't it?
You must take a risk now. That's all they've got to do.
Well,
they
Williams
have to.
Took a risk.
Well, no, Williams didn't take a risk. Williams took money. This isn't about taking money. This is about, right, Boulier's gone, Alonso's out. We got young science coming in, exciting times. Van Dorn, I'm sorry, it hasn't worked out. You're of this generation that we're trying to shake clear of. Let's get the new kid in,
see what he can do.
See what he can do. And if you're McLaren, try and get Van Dorn a seat somewhere else, or put him in the road car series for a while. Put him in the LM, what's called GTX? What's the new Le Mans WEC series?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, keep Van Dorn on as a McLaren family driver. I think just boot him out.
Make it a little bit
seat.
More exciting because, at the moment.
And
Sainz
and. I just think Sainz and Norris would be like, what?
It would be cool.
That is. Anyway, that's what I'm hoping. Whether they do it or not, I don't know. I think it's a very strong shout with Ocon, but I would be surprised if Van Dorn gets the seat.
I'd be surprised if Mercedes let Ocon go as well.
Go to McLaren?
Yeah.
Okay. I think they will. I think they'll. Because they want to get him a seat. And I think the Force India seat's not guaranteed. Because, let's move on. Nice segue. Thank you, Paul. We have the news this summer that a Lawrence Stroll, Lance Stroll's dad, led consortium, so yeah. basically a group of very rich people, have bought the Force India team.
Yeah, because there was talk a while ago that he was sniffing around.
I think he's been sniffing around for a while.
Yeah.
He's already invested $10 billion into his son's racing career, so why not invest another 10?
Perfect time to buy, though.
Perfect time to buy.
This Force India, come
unfortunately, come a cropper. Vijay Mallya, obviously the initial owner-buyer, come into some financial struggles of his own. I think the other co-owners wanted to get rid of it. The team went into administration around Silverstone, didn't they?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And they were looking for some new buyers. And apparently, good news for F1, there were lots of interested parties.
Oh, that's good.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But the Stroll-led consortium seemed to be the strongest.
Had all the money.
It's a bit of a weird one. You know, I think there's a lot of negativity around Lance. you know, and you could argue with fair reason at times. He's sporadic with his results.
I was going to say, yeah, he's had his ups and downs.
A lot of downs.
A lot of downs.
And having a very rich father who does things like buy a team so that you can stay in Formula One doesn't do you any favours.
Mm.
So I'm interested to see where this will go. I can't imagine Lawrence Stroll like wanting to run a Formula One team. I think he's just done it for his son.
I think so too. And we have seen Stroll be successful with Williams last season. Like, he got points, he got a podium.
He can like perform.
He could definitely drive.
He can definitely
and
drive.
I would love to see him, like, put him in a Ferrari and put Vettel in a Williams and just see. I want to see more from Stroll than what we're seeing at the moment. Is this going to provide that opportunity? Potentially.
Potentially. I think that team is a strong team. It's forever been the best underdog team, hasn't it?
You know,
solid results, always been able to pull it out of the bag.
And they drive pink.
They drive pink. Well, it'll be interesting to see if that sponsorship sticks around.
Mm.
So lots of rumours that they're going to become the sort of, like Haas is to Ferrari, they're going to be to Mercedes, a sort of Mercedes junior team.
Which is only going to be good.
Yeah, which I don't think is bad. You know, a lot of people complain about these. Yeah, I think it's great. It adds competitiveness for sure, as long as it's not too controlled by the big team. I think it's good. It's good news. Let's see what happens.
It's good news, but obviously there's Stroll coming in and two drivers hanging around.
Well, here we go. So
they can't have three cars.
We've got to assume that Lance Stroll is going to be driving for Force India, or whatever the team is going to be called, now that his dad owns the team. It'd be a very strange situation if his son leaves.
You stay there.
I'm actually really into F1 now. You've really got me interested in the sport, so bye. Do you think that's going to happen before the end of the season? If you were Lawrence and you'd invested all this money in your son and he was in this awful Williams car, why would you not just pluck him out of it, put him in a Force India?
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's a given.
I don't have a son, but I'd probably want the best for him, and maybe that's not a Williams. So if I did have billions of pounds, a private jet for me, and then a private jet for my daughter to fly around the world and flaunt it on Instagram, I'd probably put my son in.
It's going to be an interesting one because there's so many sort of politics and big moves around him, because if they do that, they've got to get rid of Perez or Ocon.
Yeah.
If they get rid of Ocon, they're really pissing off Mercedes, who they want to partner with. If they get rid of Perez, that's all of their money, and that's the guy who kind of forced the team into administration. So you're going to upset the internal infrastructure of the team there.
Which is probably going to have a knock-on effect for short-term. I think it would be nice to see it being quite a short-term thing, but I do think internally there are going to be some pretty big issues and clashes that are going on that we're probably not going to get to see, but we will see it on the track.
So the only rumour that came out of an article this morning, I think, and I wish I could credit the article, I'll try and find a link and put it below if I remember that in the edit, which I won't, is that this is all a huge master play going on behind the scenes, essentially by Toto Wolff, who's seen this all coming. And he's trying to get, like you predicted, Ocon into McLaren now.
Right.
Get Van Dorn out.
Yeah.
He's underperforming. He's not happy. Get Van Dorn out. Get Ocon into the McLaren, freeing up the Force India seat. Stroll moves into Force India. No issues there. Mercedes are all happy because they've released the driver. Williams get a fat payoff. And the main man, Robert Kubica, gets the Williams seat.
It's funny you should say that, because Toto actually just texted me the entire plan 5 minutes before the podcast.
Definitely did not. You don't know Toto. Yeah. I got a selfie with him. Yeah. Most expensive selfie challenge. You're like, who even is that? It's before Toto was the man that we all know of him now. He was just a random member of the Mercedes team.
And you were just a nerd.
I was a nerd. I asked Toto, he's worth loads.
Who doesn't want to see him come back?
Robert Kubica,
because he tested at the beginning of the year, or is it mid-season?
He's tested both.
There's a lot of hype around it.
A ton of hype.
But he wasn't actually that quick, was he?
He wasn't that quick, hence why he didn't get the seat. Mm. And also, I think he doesn't want to drive the car. He's actually come out and said that he doesn't really want to drive the car. It's that bad.
Would you remember Paul de Resta had to stand in? Where did he have to stand?
Where was that? That was like, amazing. What am I doing?
Oh, it's Hungary.
Hungary. And he was like 3.5 seconds off. They're like, this is really impressive from Paul. No, it's not. I think it would be a great romantic story for Kubica to come back. But maybe it wouldn't live up to all of our hopes and expectations.
I don't think the Williams car is there, and I don't think he's probably there, because you have to be match fit. You have to be consistently driving that car, and you have to be actually putting in race miles to get a feel for it. And you can't come in halfway through the season and just be like, oh, hey guys, yeah, remember me like 5 years ago? Cool.
Yeah. Into a back running team. You're not going to get any impressive results back there.
No.
It's such a shame. I love Williams. I honestly, I do. I follow drivers, not teams. A lot of people ask me this and give me a hard time on social media saying, how can I be a massive Ferrari road car and brand fan and then not support them in Formula One?
I like the Ferrari road cars. I don't like them as an F1 team because I don't really like the drivers.
Well, that's exactly it. I did when Schumacher was there because I was a massive Schumacher fan. But I follow drivers. I still have an affinity towards Ferrari. I do love them as a thing, but I lean on supporting Hamilton and the drivers. And so Williams, however, one team that bucked that trend, that I've always wanted Williams as a team to succeed no matter who the drivers are.
Their story is so cool. And
so cool.
The movie, the Frank Williams, Sir Frank Williams, is incredible.
I'd like to say I don't cry often, but I do, and that was one movie.
It's not even if you're a motorsport fan. It's just a cool movie. You don't have to like cars. You don't have to like F1, but it's just an incredible story, and the fact that it's true and everything in that is real. It's just mind-boggling. And so when I watched that, obviously, Williams was the team that actually got me into Formula 1 when I was about 10 years old. So I got this VHS, which for the people that are watching that are younger than both of us, VHS with this sort of big black cube that actually played movies. And I had F1 2001, I think, as a sort of season highlights, and I put it on. I was like, oh my god, look at that car, that is the best livery ever. And it was the Juan Pablo Montoya era,
BMW,
and I was like,
Williams.
Oh yeah, this, the sounds is amazing. So Williams was the team of mine when I started to get into Formula 1, which it then turned into road car passion. So that's where my passion for Williams comes from. But then hearing the story, learning about the team, and this season with their drivers, you can't really get behind them. They've got no personality. Sometimes I feel like Lance Stroll doesn't even want to be there at race weekends, and he's just like, oh, come on, man, I don't want to do another media interview. And I don't even think I've ever seen Sorokin's face.
I saw him actually in Monaco during Mod Bull Rally. He was having breakfast at the table next to me, and he was incredibly rude to the waitress making his omelette. Really rude. Well, I couldn't believe it.
Uncalled for.
Really uncalled.
But I love Williams.
So yeah, fingers crossed they find it. I mean, it does seem at the moment, unfortunately, that they ebb and flow a bit between some highs and some lows, and they do sit in the lows for quite a long time. Let's fingers crossed hope that they can pull it, come back to the highs. I question whether Claire Williams is got a little bit lost in that, you know, ever since Frank stepped back and she stepped forward. Actually, that's a complete lie, because they had those brilliant years with Martini at the beginning with Bottas and Massa.
Yeah.
So that's unfair criticism, I think.
And I actually watched a really good interview with her, and you could see how passionate she was, because I think the interviewer was kind of insinuating as if to be like, are you going
to
pack it in? Like,
yeah, and she was
like, no, I'm standing by. Like, this is my family.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's what we do. So,
well, let's keep our fingers crossed. Now we've sort of powered through quite a lot of drive changes and moves, which have all been really around the midfield, which is bizarre to talk about McLaren and Renault and Williams as midfield, but that's the way the world works at the moment. Let's go back towards the front end. Obviously, Hamilton and Bottas now locked in and confirmed there, which, you know, I think is solid. I can see why they've done that. Bottas is just happy getting bummed every single race, so we'll leave him be.
And also that brilliant picture
brilliant
of Lewis Hamilton's Formula 1 car and then Bottas on the back with a gun.
Being a rear gunner. Yeah. Was a wingman
shooting everyone off like, go away, Lewis is going to win this race.
Classic wingman. So let's look at Red Bull and Ferrari, because lots still that can happen with them for the rest of the season in terms of driver lineups. So now Ricciardo's out. Who do you think will step up and partner Verstappen next year in the Red Bull Honda?
Who would I like to see?
Alonso.
Jenson Button.
Yeah.
I think that's a really difficult question, because now you've got to think, is one of the Toro Rosso drivers going to step up? Have they got enough experience to step up? Probably not. I reckon bring back Danny Kvyat.
Kvyat's a Ferrari man now. He's long gone. He's like, I'm out of here.
Bring it back. What does Vettel call him? The torpedo?
The torpedo is so good. And I watched it. If you do watch RG Hamilton's I Nearly Died video.
No.
He got torpedoed by Kvyat in his like F3000 race.
I mean, that's one torpedo at RG Hamilton. I reckon he did it about four times.
Claim to fame.
Yeah.
Now, it's been many a moon since Red Bull bought in a driver that's not been part of the Red Bull Young Programme or Toro Rosso. I think it's really pre-Vettel, surely, because Webber must have been the last external driver that they would have bought in, I think. I'm trying to trace it back. DC was there from the beginning. Webber. Yeah, I think Webber was the last external. Okay, I hope that's right. If it's not, I apologise. Since then, I feel like they've continuously upgraded or brought in drivers from the Young Driver Programme or Toro Rosso. So it would be quite a big move for them to not do that. I really would be shocked if it wasn't Gasly.
Yeah.
Mainly because I can't remember who the other Toro Rosso driver is. Why am I having a mind blank?
Brendan Hartley.
Oh my God. If Brendan Hartley gets the Red Bull seat, I will eat your Red Bull hat. I mean, that's how bad it is. I forgot who actually drove for him. I think Gasly's strong. I think
he's put in some good shifts.
I think he's put in some good shifts. I don't think he's necessarily ready. I think it's a young lineup at Red Bull.
I was going to say, Max Verstappen, as good as he is, and obviously he's got this natural talent, he still makes these immature mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like they should be bringing in some sort of maturity that can level this mental head that Max Verstappen's got. Maybe bring back his dad. Like, let's get his dad back.
He looks like a very angry man. Yeah. Okay, so here's my big, like, shake it all up.
Go on.
Let's dream.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you put Kimi Raikkonen in there?
Because he would just cause grief for the rest of the team.
Why?
Because he's going to have a Honda engine.
Okay, I see where you're coming from. But let's us not forget that Kimi started his F1 career at Sauber when they were sponsored by Red Bull. When he left Formula One and went and did that disastrous rallying and disastrous NASCAR, he was Red Bull sponsored. He does have ties and links with Red Bull. I think, and I assume Ferrari will re-sign him for next year. I think he's just doing such a good job, Kimi. I think he gets better every single race. Yeah. I think he's right up there with Vettel. I think they would be mad to get rid of him.
They push each other.
They really push each other. And it's a shame he's not getting victories, but he is right there.
Yeah.
And I, as amazing I think Charles Leclerc is, I don't think he's ready. I don't think he's ready to come in. So, but let's just dream for a second and assume that Ferrari says, okay, sorry, Kimi, we're going with the young kid. Kimi's left as a free agent. I think he is a really surefire bet for Red Bull, or it would be a solid bet for Red Bull, because another thing I learned from the fascinating Villeneuve podcast, I shouldn't keep promoting other podcasts, but here we are.
Let's find the links in the description.
Or not, I'll just ruin it, I'll misspell it. Is that Villeneuve said that Kimi is one of the best car developers.
Okay.
In someone, and he said
in terms of giving feedback
and helping develop a car throughout a season and during the off season, he's incredibly good at that. And Ferrari, where they are now, Villeneuve said he would put down to Kimi, not Vettel.
Mm.
Vettel can still be petulant, and whilst he tries to do the Schumacher motivation, blah blah, it's Kimi who provides the fantastic feedback and builds it. And so
essentially, Kimi Raikkonen to the public eye is a character.
Yes.
Because everything that we see is like he's a moody, useless, fast, kind of like nonchalant driver. And actually, what you're saying, I've heard other rumours around Kimi Raikkonen on the party scene. He's very different.
When he clocks off.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of actually developing and setting up a race car, I think this guy knows what he's doing.
And he's a veteran. He's a veteran in the game. And
he's a world champion.
Combining what we've just said, maybe we do need a bit of a veteran to give Verstappen the right push in the direction that he needs.
Well, that's exactly it. If you brought him in on a one-year contract, because that's all Ferrari are going to offer him.
Yeah.
You bring him on a one-year contract, you say to Gasly, sorry, mate, one more season at Toro Rosso, please. You have Kimi there to just help manage that new experience with Honda, bring in some feedback, bring in some experience, keep Verstappen on his toes. I don't think it's going to happen.
No,
but
I was going
to
say,
I would love to see it happen.
That's a real dream world, because if you're just bringing someone in for a 12-month period, like, and let's say he has a bad start to the season, he's just not going to care. He's just going to be like, he's just going to be in holiday
mode.
I think
you underestimate Kimi.
Maybe I do.
I've always been a big Kimi fan, personality-wise, but also just on track. I think, you know, I think he's a different driver to who he was before he left the sport, but I think he's just an amazing driver, and I do think he's getting better and better. I think Ferrari would be mad to get rid of him, but if they did, I would love Red Bull to be open-minded, but I'm going to probably put my money on the fact it will be Verstappen and Gasly.
Mm.
And I think Gasly will get announced pretty soon, I think.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. They're
Let's
usually
hope
quite quick
in the next
to react.
2 days, because this part of the podcast.
Well, if you look at when Vettel left, they reacted so quickly to signing Kvyat. So was it Kvyat or Verstappen? No, Kvyat, of course.
That was Russia. Was it Russia? Oh, it was a Russia Grand Prix. Like, just after the Russian Grand Prix that Kvyat went. And then literally like that.
Sorry, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, because didn't Kvyat replace Vettel? When Vettel announced he was leaving, they said Kvyat
Him. Yeah, I thought you were talking about. Well, I mean, even that as an example is when Kvyat crashed into Vettel twice. They're like, right, you out.
Exactly.
And everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
That's so harsh.
I don't think they'll mess around, but I do think it's interesting that they haven't announced Gasly yet, which makes me think they are considering options.
Yeah.
And maybe they're waiting to see what Ferrari do.
Also proves how much of a shock Ricciardo came to everyone.
Absolutely.
You'd think that they would have had someone lined up.
I would agree. So I think that pretty much sums up, I think. I mean, we haven't touched on Alfa Romeo Sauber. I think, again, the big question will be whether Leclerc gets the boost up to Ferrari. I think it's unlikely, I think. So I
think they're plodding along. I think the cars look great.
I think they're doing well. I actually think they're improving a lot. I think Ericsson's stepping up to the plate when he's not crashing into people.
or being the ghost that Grosjean crashes into.
Exactly, banter. The only thing that I think could change there is I think that unless Grosjean really performs strongly, I think he could be out of Haas at the end of the year.
I believe so. I did tweet, I can't remember what number crash it was this season, maybe number 98 or 99, but I said, how many times are they going to rebuild that car before replacing him. Because surely, I reckon I could go in that car and crash less than him.
Probably. You'd go slower, but you'd crash less. Yeah. So I would maybe put Leclerc into the Haas, give him a bit more speed, a bit more performance, see what he can do. Even though Alfa Romeo Sauber is stepping up.
Yeah.
Magnussen's not going to go anywhere. I think everyone thinks he's a dick, but very quick. Have we lost any other teams there that we haven't touched on?
No, the only thing that I want to say about all of these changes, because this is quite a radical season in Formula One, and I would actually like to send a message to Codemasters who create the Formula One game, because I've pre-ordered Formula One 2018.
Okay.
Very odd time to launch a game, would you not say, end of August, which is sort of mid-season going into the second half of the season. Because when you look at FIFA or other games, they bring the games out after all of the changes happen.
No, but none of these changes until next year, mate. All these changes will be in F1 2019.
They're in our mind and they know that it's going to happen. That I've got this game in August and I'm not going to complete it until March, April time. And then at that point, I'm probably doing Abu Dhabi going, oh, here we go, Ricardo in the Red Bull. We've got everyone. Alonso. I'm like, he's not even there anymore. Like, there's so many changes that I'm just like,
I've never understood why they released the F1 games mid-season.
It's kind of strange.
Because they know all the liveries and stuff, don't they? And they could ask the teams. They're the licensed game, their official licensed game. So the game could come out after the first three Grand Prix, maybe, if you really wanted to wait. Why do they wait till mid-season? What are they doing?
Yeah.
What information are they gathering?
I mean, the only thing that they're doing right is they're launching it at the end of the month, which is around payday, so people will be buying the game, which is a fairly obvious marketing strategy. But apart from that, this is such a crazy season with so many big changes. Normally, it is literally race liveries and the odd tweak. This year, we've obviously got the Paul Ricard circuit and things like that, which I'm very excited about. I am a massive fan of this game, but there's just a lot of changes which
just
I'm just like,
for the beginning of next year you'll be playing with the old teams and drivers.
It's not just that I have to wait to August 2019 to get a new game.
Move on, Paul, fucking hell. Such a gamer. Okay, so let's review our pre-season predictions, because, you know, as I said, this is our mid-season review. We will be doing an end-of-season review, and we did do a pre-season preview, and in that we had to pick our 1-2-3 championship results. Paul, Yours were?
Lewis Hamilton to win.
Yeah.
For some reason, probably my dream world, I would like to have seen Max Verstappen come second, because I want to see him rise up. I want to see him become world champion.
Shame that he just kept crashing and making mistakes then.
Yeah. Crashedappen.com or whatever the website was. Brilliant website, whoever created that. And Vettel third. I mean, I had to throw a Ferrari in because they were looking solid during the preseason testing. And I mean, everything that they are doing and Kimi Raikkonen is doing in the R&D department is coming to fruition. Is that the right word?
Yeah, perfect.
Because
you nailed that.
They are so fast that it is exciting, but also from a Mercedes AMG fan point of view, pretty depressing.
Exciting for the sport. Shame that Vettel tends to keep making the odd little mistake, as he has done over the years.
Oh, I cheered so loud.
Oh my God.
At that 10-mile-an-hour crash.
When he crashed out in Germany.
Yeah.
That was a very exciting moment for any Lewis Hamilton fan. What I loved, though, it was at the home Grand Prix for him, Germany.
Yeah.
And all of the fans.
In front of the
videos,
biggest grandstand.
They all jumped up and cheered. They were all so excited that he crashed. But that's, I think that shows F1 fans want excitement.
Yeah.
Even if your main driver goes out, you want excitement.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do find this is a Vettel theme. I think that's his one chink in his armour, is he does boil over and he does make the odd mistake, and it's not the
first
time
we've
seen it.
You should ask him that next time you
next
see
time
him.
I hang out with him. Why do you make so many mistakes? Well, I went with Hamilton, Vettel, Ricciardo.
Yeah.
You know, I think none of us expected Raikkonen to step up to the plate so much. Slash, he is helped by how quick the Ferrari is.
Mm.
Danny Rick is still there doing strong, but the Red Bull just keeps falling apart. I think that could still be the top three. I'm comfortable.
I'd like to see Daniel Ricciardo up there.
If the reliability stays, I think that could still happen.
Anything can happen in the second half of the season. We saw that last year.
Ferrari will come on strong.
Do you know what is actually depressing me a little bit about the second half of the season? You know how both you and I were at Monza last year? We were so excited because Mercedes AMG was so dominant. Their straight line speed was incredible. And it was so cool to see the Italian flamboyancy, the passion in the crowd, Ferrari red everywhere. And it just went black. And Lewis Hamilton went up on the podium and won. What's so depressing is the tables are turned. We are now going to have the biggest, powerful sea of red
I'm not going to get involved. I will get involved. At that point, because that's Italy.
You're going to take off your Mercedes AMG t-shirt and run into the crowd and crowd surf everyone.
I actually don't own a Mercedes AMG t-shirt. I own a Lewis Hamilton hat. Okay. And then I own a lot of Ferrari merchandise.
So you'll fit right in.
I'll fit right in.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to watch Monza.
What?
No, it's my favourite circuit.
It's amazing. The atmosphere is like nowhere else.
I know, but it's for Ferrari.
Great. You're a weirdo. Anyway, that brings a close to our F1 mid-season review.
Did I do better than Tony would have done in this sort of thing?
Tony would have lasted 5 minutes. We go, I don't know who that is. I don't know who's that? Where are they going there? Maybe. And he's going, yeah, Vettel. No, Vettel's the best, though, isn't he? Vettel's the best. He's been in the car with him. He's the best, isn't he? So we hope you found it interesting. If you haven't been an F1 fan or you aren't an F1 fan, I don't imagine you've listened to this podcast. But if you have, thanks for staying with us
and tune in to the second half of the season, because I think this is one of the most exciting seasons that we've had. I think some of the previous seasons have been a little bit boring, but now that we've got new owners in F1, they're making it more exciting in terms of media opportunities and exposure. You're seeing it on YouTube and everything like that. But also, I think moving on into next year and the year after, you're starting to see a lot of changes in the parameters that these manufacturers are allowed, making it more of an even balanced race, which I think is going to promote overtaking and more exciting racing.
Fingers crossed.
Being paid to say that.
Hashtag sponsored by F1. We wish. But yes, if you are, craving a regular Tony Gravelwood podcast content, do not worry. It's coming back next week and the week after. We have two bumper load episodes that we have already recorded because I'm off to Monterey Car Week and then off on a few other trips and adventures. So I won't be around in the UK to record any episodes for a few weeks.
I'm just hanging out waiting for a V12. That's all I'm doing.
If you've enjoyed this, give it a thumbs up. If you've enjoyed this, let me try that again. Started off badly. Ending badly. Give it a thumbs up if you've enjoyed this. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to hit subscribe and turn on notifications. And if you're listening to us, keep following us on whatever platform you are. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.